Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And they finally hit 5 runs. They fell behind 2-0 in the first, and it was like, oh my gosh, here we go. They scored 2 runs. There's no way the Astros can win this game now. It's over already. It's over. And then boom, boom. You know Christian Walker's going to hit, right?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
To what level, I don't know, but I don't. It's not statistically. There's not a trend that would recommend. There's not a trend that would foreshadow him having a bad year per se. He could have an average year, but yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be okay. Paredes, I'm a little concerned about his second half of the year last year after being traded, but odds are he's going to hit better too. It's to what level? It's now Cam Smith. There's no guarantees. He's a rookie.
No. I still want to see him pull the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's not hit one. He can't hit it to the left side.
Listen, there was an Astros prospect named Ty Gainey years ago. Yep. A lot of people wouldn't remember. This guy was in the PCL, Pacific Coast League, when the Astros minor league.
Yeah, but he went on to play in Japan or...
Probably.
He became a hero somewhere
else. He was like
a
350 hitter in the Astros minor league system. He was unbelievable, but he couldn't pull anything.
Yeah.
So so when he got up to the bigs, he just saw a lot of fastballs and he never developed into a big-time hitter. He was this huge hitter in the minor leagues, but that next step up, it was tough for him because the fastball was too much for him, I guess. And he just, if you can't pull you have to be able to pull the ball. You don't have to be a pull hitter, but you have to be able to turn on it.
Yeah.
And we'll see with Cam. Like, he's a big, strong boy. There's really no reason he shouldn't be able to pull the ball. Because when he's doing that, I think he's going to be on top. Some of it could just be he's just not as aggressive. His swing starting later because he's just not, he's not really seeing it yet. That could be some of it. Although you did say that in spring too.
Yeah.
He seemed pretty aggressive in the spring.
Yeah, but he pulled a couple of balls, but that was against minor league pitching.
That's what I mean.
Against major league pitching, he has not hit one ball to the left side. He can't get around. He's not getting around.
That game went exactly like I thought it would go. I thought when I was talking about it yesterday, I thought, okay, Hunter's going to have a good game. He's going to have a good game. And he did. He was good. Hunter was good. He had control, was on his strikeout numbers again. And then you got better offense. You got away from the kids. You got away from the wives. And you can win on the road. Away from those disturbances, you can win on the road. It's been proven. I don't know how many years in a row this has to happen for everyone to realize this team loves to get away from all the hassles of the hometown. And it's incredibly humid this morning. Incredibly humid. They wanted to get away from this humidity, and look what happened.
I'm not sure that's why they're hitting now. They just, they love hit. And this is a different iteration of the Astros, but for whatever reason, they hit in Minnesota. Joe Ryan was not bad yesterday. He left a couple of balls over the plate. Jose Altuve didn't think he thought he was the Sandy Koufax. Thought he was Don Drysdale.
Well, Victor Caratini didn't think
Holy
so.
Holy crap. Well, Victor Caratini blooped one into right field that was really badly blooped.
Well,
misplayed
you say
by Harrison
bloop,
Bader.
I say rocket.
Well, Harrison Bader misplayed that terribly, and it turned into a double.
Hit it
and
where
then,
they ain't.
And then next guy up, Barry Bonds, Brendan Rodgers, with his 3-hit game.
Right.
I mean, holy crap. How are you going to slow down a Brendan Rodgers? So, they came through with some guys on base. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Pena
with another bomb.
Put up a 5 spot. And Hunter, holy crap. He's humping it up at 98, 99. He hit 99.6 the other day, and now he's hit and he was hitting 98. His 80th pitch, I think, came in at 98. 80th pitch of the game. So Hunter looks really, really good to start this season. Fromber had a little, you know, his hiccup in his last outing. But you know, Fromber's going to be solid.
Mm-hmm. He turned it around after that early runs. I mean, he didn't give up any runs after the first five. He locked it in. I was thinking they were going to chase him, but basically they can't. Right now, you don't want him chasing. Like, Fromber has to just work through it and get his innings in. And he did. But the first game was incredible. The second one, he had some control issues. And then Hunter Brown had his issues early in that game, but then was dominant in this game. That's some of what we'll see. This is probably going to be, you know, we'll see. I think it's probably going to be around a 500 team this year. We're probably going to run through our ups and downs. Brendan Rodgers is not a guy you're going to be able to count on full time, but Jeremy Pena, that's a great sign. Christian Walker, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
These are things, you know, Yordan's going to eventually click. Eventually Yordan will go on a tear. So that's good.
No. It's a good start. A really good start to the, road trip, no question about it. The ump was terrible yesterday. I mean, and in a few instances in the Astros' favor, which was nice. Carlos Correa struck out on a pitch. It was like, yikes. That was nice.
He expanded a little bit, but I like that Hunter took advantage of it.
Yeah, no. They were hitting corners yesterday. No question about
and
it.
And he wasn't giving in like Hunter. Hunter was, it's not like he was a incredibly high strike total in his pitch count, but he walked nobody. When he needed a throw strike, he could, which just showed you that Hunter Brown was basically pitching his game. He was able to pitch his game. He wasn't giving them hitters pitches. He was staying with pitchers pitches. And, you know, when Fromber's good, that's what he's doing too. The difference is Fromber is going to delve into some, you know, the walk totals are going to hit. He's going to hit two or three walks in a game. Fromber won't give in. He can get out of it with double plays. Hunter gets out of it with strikeouts, but Hunter didn't give in yesterday, and he didn't walk, but he didn't have any walks, which I thought was a great sign. So,
yeah.
That's good. And the Twins are not a bad baseball team.
So did you see the umpire? I don't think it was yesterday. Maybe it was yesterday afternoon. Mike Muschlinski. Did you see
what
that?
A dummy.
He said, if any of you tap your helmet like it's like you do when you're protesting a ball or a strike.
Spring training or in minor leagues.
Yeah. Where you tap the top of
where
your helmet.
Where you want to review the pitch.
When you want to review the pitch, yeah. And you're going to get ejected. And he missed 22 calls yesterday.
I saw that.
He missed 22 calls, 22 balls and strikes. And he was like, if any of you tap the top of your head, that's a good one for an umpire. Mm-hmm. When you think he missed a ball or a strike, tap the top of your head, and that'll piss him off. Holy crap. I love that. But I guess he told him before the game that I wonder if somebody did it to him the previous game.
It's obvious.
Yeah.
Or he's seen it happen to
somebody
anybody else.
Anybody does that, they're getting thrown out.
Or they've seen it happen to someone else. I could see baseball players doing that, a passive aggressive, like, you missed that call.
Yep. That's funny. That's fun. 713-780-3776. Anything you want to talk about, get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Better or worse that Golden State beat the Lakers last night?
You know, at first I was thinking better. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure it's great that Golden State is really good again.
Yeah, but you got to face whoever you got to face. My thing is, I just want to make sure the Rockets stay in two or three. I want to make sure they stay in two, frankly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the highest you can be. The Lakers right now are, where are they back? 3.5? So Lakers are now 3.5 back. The Nuggets are 3 back, and the Nuggets are the number one challenger. But that sounds like, you know, it sounds like, well, they're not going to be able to make up. You only have 5 games to go, and you're up 3. Yeah, but it's 5. You know, there's no Utahs in here. There's no Raptors in here. There's no Spurs in here. It's 2 home games against Denver, and the last one's against Denver. This one's against Oklahoma City. You got Oklahoma City and Denver at home, and they got to go on the road and play the Warriors, the Lakers, and the Clippers. back-to-back-to-back. Not in back-to-back-to-back games, but, you know.
Yeah. That's well, you, the you got the toughest five games in the NBA.
Two and three will secure you the two spot, more than likely. But especially if it's a head-to-head over Denver or the Lakers, you're in great shape.
Three-game lead with five games to play. The good news is that the Warriors are probably they're moving their way out of the possible play-in game, which is a real positive for the Rockets because you don't want the Warriors in the first round.
No, but it's all jammed up, though.
No, it's the Clippers.
I mean, it's Warriors, Memphis, and T-Wolves.
Well, it's the Clippers, T-Wolves, and Grizzlies right now since Golden State now is moved up a half a game ahead of those teams. Yeah, there's four teams that you could possibly play. Clippers, T-Wolves, Grizzlies, Warriors. And none of them are sporty, but Golden State...
In theory, there's five teams because the Lakers, in theory, could be there.
Well, they could, but a game to go, they've got to drop... two games to those teams, which is possible.
Yeah, we're talking about three games with the Rockets.
Yeah.
Three-game lead. So let me see their schedule real quick. My guess is no one's going to have a schedule as tough as the Rockets.
Nobody does.
It just happens to be that, you know, it's just a tougher schedule. Yeah. That's fine.
Why you got a three-game cushion.
Yeah, that's how you built it. Yeah. So they've got their New Orleans, Oak City, back to... How is that happening? They're back-to-back Oak City.
Yeah.
But is Oak City still playing? I hope so.
That's a question.
So the Lakers have New Orleans today at home. They'll win that.
Now,
listen,
Oak City's only got 12 losses. They might be going for 70.
Could be.
Yeah.
Oak City at Oak City, then at Dallas, who's still fighting for playoff position. Then you got Rockets at home, and then you go to Portland. So the Lakers don't, you know, in theory, the Lakers could go 2-4.
Yep.
They could have some trouble.
Yep. And the Rockets have got Oklahoma City. And that's tonight. And, you know, we'll see whether or not Oklahoma City's going for it or just trying to ease their way into the postseason and not risk any injuries because the Rockets are going to play them. They're going to play hard. There's no question about it. Everybody talks about the Rockets being the most physical team. If I'm Oklahoma City, I want to make sure that I get out of here healthy. That's for sure. But this is a team that's going for 70 wins. 70-12 is that puts you in historic category. That puts you with the, you know, Bulls. Of the early 90s, that puts you with Golden State. That puts you in that neighborhood. 70 wins is something special. Yeah, I wonder they got to be thinking about it.
Maybe. I mean, Golden State we know is the all-time leader. So can they catch that number?
And then they didn't win the title.
Can they catch that number? I don't know.
We'll see.
Golden State went 73-9. They can't catch them.
No. They can catch 70.
No, but he said, can they catch Golden State?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know how many wins do they have right now?
They can only get to 70.
Oh, so if they went out, they get to 70.
Top 70. Yeah. Yeah, they got 12 losses.
My guess is they won't look at that as something that's an absolute must. If it gets down to the last day, they're going to rest everyone.
Yeah, 70 is a special number, though. You're in rarefied air.
Is it more important, though? You are, but is it more important than getting a day of rest?
No.
Although you do have some rest because the playing games, like you do theoretically have good rest.
I'll tell you this. I know that they're deep because when I went to see them play against Portland, none of their starters played, and they beat Portland's ass. So they can still win games with their backups. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good team right there, Oklahoma City. So, they're gonna fight the Rockets tonight. There's no question about it. The Rockets win tonight, and it's gonna be awfully difficult for Denver because they'll be up three games with four to play. I don't know where the tiebreaker is, but they play on the last day of the season. The Rockets and the Nuggets. I don't think it comes down to that. Rockets still got to go to Golden State. Still got to go to the Lakers. Those teams are going to be playing hard. They're going to be playing for playoff positioning. So this is a fun time at the end of the season here.
That's weird. We're just looking at play. We're waiting for a lottery usually. Yep. We're just waiting to see. Is there any way they can get lucky in the lottery? And you don't have to get lucky. And last year they had whoever's pick where they got the third pick. Whose pick was that?
Well, they still got a chance to get
lucky. Was it the Nets pick, right?
It was the Nets.
Yeah.
It's still got a chance to get lucky in the lottery with Phoenix's pick.
Yeah, you do.
So not only are
but
you
I'm not looking forward to I don't care about that. I'm caring about the playoffs.
Well, not only do you get looking forward to the playoffs, but you're looking forward to the lottery too. That's a win-win.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's because of the wheeling and dealing. Nice job. All right. Time to talk about the hoop in your front yard. Time to talk about whether or not your kids want to be out there playing. Time to talk about, you know, this is basketball time. The Final Four I mean, the NBA playoffs around the corner, and your Houston Rockets, a good team again. Your kids are loving hoops. They want to play. They want to be out in the yard. You want them out in the yard. You don't want them playing video games all day long, getting fat and sassy on the couch. Get outside and play. And you know what? They're going to get outside and play if they can raise and lower the goal because they can't reach a 10-foot goal, Dad. Not only that, your wife's going to go, that goal looks terrible. Well, not the pro dunk goal. It looks great. It's the best-looking goal in the history of goals. You want a goal that's going to last long, too. Mike, the goal that we got over 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, still looks great in the neighborhood. It still looks great. And there's one reason, because it's the best-made goal ever. ProDunk.com. Keith Tate's been doing it forever, and he'll do it for you. ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Shedeur Sanders working out today.
They call it the showcase. It's not pro day at Colorado. It's an NFL showcase.
It's a showcase?
Mm-hmm.
Deion is pissed at you, so I don't think you should go.
He's not pissed. He just thinks I'm crazy. I think Deion's starting to figure out that it's not going to happen for his son. If Shedeur doesn't go, the Saints don't have him at the top of their board. So if he doesn't go and... Geno Smith just got a $66 million guaranteed, so he ain't going six. If Shedeur doesn't go three to the Giants, the fall is initially. Unless Jets aren't doing it, not with Justin Fields. So Shedeur doesn't go third to the Giants. Now, the Giants could also trade back.
Yeah.
The Giants could trade back and still take Shedeur Sanders. That is a possibility. But if he doesn't go to the Giants, Sanders is going to fall, as I've been predicting. Because when you look at it, and not just that, but, I mean, I watch all the tape. He doesn't carry a super high grade. But this is the ESPN talk is all Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur Sanders. But this is this pro day, their showcase. And we all know what Travis Hunter can do, so it doesn't matter. I'm sure Travis Hunter isn't going to work out. Like, I'm sure he's not going to run or anything like that. Maybe he will. Scouts don't think he's fast.
Shedeur?
No. Well, they know he's not, but they don't think Travis Hunter's fast.
Huh?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. They say, and this is like two of them say, no, he'll be high 4.4s. I mean, it's fast, but it's not blazing speed. They said he'll be high 4.4s, might be a closer 4.49, 4.50. I said, really? I feel like he looks faster than that. They say, no, if you watch him, and they've got tracking technology, and they say, no, if you watch him as a corner when he's got to turn and run, when somebody beats him, he doesn't usually catch him. And which is surprising because I don't think speed – but that's why, like, what's his play speed is good. But I don't think he's going to run. And this is turning into a big thing in the NFL now. Teams are getting really pissed. There's nothing they can do about it. Tyler Warren, not working out at all.
No.
Abdul Carter, not working out, but he has
– does he have to gain?
Who?
Well, Abdul Carter.
Well, he's just got the foot thing, so
– yeah, and what does he have to gain by?
Not really anything.
Nothing.
Just gives you
I think if you're the first, second, third pick, I wouldn't work out either.
Yeah, but you really don't have to. Realistically, if I'm being honest about it.
Look at the tape.
Tyler Warren, I do think, has something to gain. But he has something to lose, too.
Yeah.
Potentially. If he's a 4.8 40 player. He could fall a little bit, Tyler Warren, if he falls past the Colts at 14, but not that far. 17 would be the farthest. But the guy that everyone is going to be ticked about is if Will Johnson doesn't run. Will Johnson's supposed to have his own pro day. I think it's April 6th, maybe today. Will Johnson hasn't run yet. He said, I tweaked my hamstring. Oh, can't I just what was that? Well, if you're Will Johnson, if you don't run, they're going to drop you because there's already questions about how fast he is. And if he doesn't run, they're going to assume he's slow. And so he's going to fall in the draft. So he really needs to run because a 4.52, a 4.53 is – he runs a 4.55, he's probably okay. The rumor was – I shouldn't say that's a rumor. I don't want to spread that because there's nothing. So somebody I know got a text message from a number that they didn't recognize that said, hey, just letting you know that Will Johnson's running a 4.7 in training.
What?
Yeah. And this guy – and I said, who was it? He said, I didn't recognize the number. I said, did you ask who it was? He said, no, I didn't ask who it was, and I didn't respond back. I'm not using that because I don't know who said it. it could be an agent trying to make him look, you know, somebody who maybe they lost out to Will Johnson or something.
Yeah.
And it could be somebody trying to, or it could be somebody who knows something.
Are people that petty?
Well, it could be an agent who has another client there. Who knows exactly what Will's running? Because another cornerback who's training, you know, would they typically will know what a guy's scores are and how he's training and how he's working out. So he's one to keep an eye on from a draft standpoint. Not for the Texans. He won't be a factor. But now if he dropped to 25, man, we're having some discussions in. That guy's got ball skills. I don't know. If Will Johnson were to drop all the way to 25 and the Texans are sitting there, whew. It'd be a conversation for me if I'm Nick Caserio, because we got another ball-hawking corner we're going to throw into our secondary.
Wow.
Because then you can stick him in the corner. You can stick him in the nickel if you want.
How do you think?
And play Kamari outside if you're worried about his speed.
How do you think Lamar's the fan base would react?
Okay, because he's a good – well, a fan base always reacts to somebody they know as opposed to Gray Zabel, North Dakota State. Right.
Well, we don't do that. We get big name. We get guys from big schools.
Yeah, we like big schools.
That's what we do. I don't know. I wouldn't mind it at all. But man, you still got the worry of protecting CJ, and that is priority one.
Guess what? No matter who you draft, you're gonna have that worry this year.
Yeah, but at least you get better.
I agree. But then you just prioritize it in the second round.
No. Let's get Ben in here. He wants to talk on the radio. Hey, Ben, what's going on?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I hope y'all can hear me okay.
We can.
No? Okay, I first thing I want to talk about is OKC. I saw that OKC game that they are being investigated for when they sat all five starters. Mm-hmm. And they still beat the socks off that team. And I said... Normally, I don't watch those games. As soon as I saw Shea on the bench, I said, I'm not watching this. But I went ahead and watched it. And the bench players still beat the crap out that team. Yeah. So even if they sit people, I still believe they'll still win.
Yeah.
Because they're that good.
No, they are.
You know? And also, I noticed that they have they play defense, and the Cougs play defense almost similar, which is blocking shots, rebounding, and getting steals. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. And both of those teams play it better than anybody I have seen in a long time.
Isn't it crazy, Ben, that that's happened in like 2 years? Like, it wasn't that long ago Oklahoma City sucked. When they drafted Chet Holmgren second, guess what? They were a bad team that year. Isn't it crazy that those two teams that you mentioned, and you're 100% right, look how quickly they came up. Look how fast it happened.
Exactly. And me and my uncle was talking about it last night. OKC did it better than anybody, I think, because they have had a million first-round picks, and they probably still do. And they're just trading them like trading cards. But also, my other point was real quick. If you are in the stock market and you have a retirement, the best thing you could do right now is – move all your money to government bonds, because government bonds don't make you money, but they don't lose you money either. And when you look at what happened in the last 3 days, people are reeling. I mean, I called my cousin last night, and he said, since January, he's lost $40,000. And I told him, I said, dude, move your money. Just let it flatline until the market shifts.
Yeah.
And then once the market corrects itself, put it back into the high risk, and you will make all that money. But instead, people are just bleeding and allowing it. Move it to government bonds, because they don't make you money, but they don't lose you money.
Ben, with Mad Money with Ben.
Yeah.
Ben Kramer. Or you My could philosophy. Take it all out and fire it on the Astros again today.
Oh, what?
Yep.
With Eric Gedde on the mound? Yeah.
Yeah, Eric Gedde looked good last time. I would take everything you got in your retirement, take it out.
I just
and put it on Eric Gedde.
Here's what I do. I never look at my retirement. The market fluctuates so much.
It was
it's going down now. It'll go back up.
I've lost so much that I'm just like, I'm not. And then yesterday when all the news came out, I'm like, not even gonna look.
Don't even look. Don't even look. Don't even look. And then when you get when you're done and you're about to draw your 401k, you go, oh, that's how much is in there.
Okay, no, you're talking about not draw, not looking for a while.
No, don't look at all. Don't look at all. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Somebody knew what they were doing.
I did. I was told yesterday. You might want to go get your cars now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything on the lot or in transit is not going to get hit by tariffs. The rest of it is going to get smashed. And that's American-made, too.
Yeah.
Because you have stuff that comes in, you know.
Parts.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was told now is the time that you need to be getting to Gulf Coast and Chastain and those places. If you're so my wife and I, we're getting her out of her lease early so we can buy a car now because we're not waiting. And that was coming from a car person.
It's going to even out, though. It's now, but it'll all even.
Well, not for a while. Not unless you take the tariffs off. They're not.
It'll all work out. 729 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you've got any financial advice, if you've got any marital advice, if you want to talk about tariffs, whatever it is, let's go. 713-780-3776. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. Our Cougs, we haven't even touched on our Cougs yet. Our Cougs are in San Antonio getting ready for Duke. And, man, it's going to be a tough, no question, it's going to be a tough one. But Channel 11, Jay Bristol, put this out there. It was Jaywan and Kelvin Sampson.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there in 2021. Jaywan was here with Kelvin Sampson. He was in the Final Four team. And it was just a crappy experience for him because it was still COVID. All the COVID restrictions were still going on. And so they really didn't get the experience. There was a video yesterday of all the guys walking in, and on the table were all the Beats by Dre. Every player got Beats by Dre, and they were all giddy, like little kids getting opening Christmas presents.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. It's great. They're getting that experience. Yeah. Well, you'll hear Kelvin. Here's Jaywan and Kelvin talking about this experience as opposed to the last one.
It's totally different, and especially with COVID, the crowd was kind of far away. You had to wave to the crowd and stuff. It wasn't that many people, so it wasn't really the full experience.
With a mariachi band, you know, for me, fine. But for those kids, for them to get that experience. And then last night, we went over to get a meal, and people stopping them, and because they've seen them play, you know, last 3 or 4 weeks. That's what this is all about. It's a reward. They should be rewarded for what they've accomplished. Tomorrow, the public scrimmage, and of course, you're just entertainment for 50 minutes. It's not like we're going to go out there and, you know, bust some drill out.
Yeah. Well, that would be cool. If they were on, you know, mm-hmm. the water walk, and then they just started a drill.
Dumb thing.
Huh?
I don't know why I'm so anti-saying. I had a bad.
What'd you have?
I don't know what it was. You know, it was a really hot, muggy night. I hate muggy nights. It was a hot, muggy night. And I remember getting bit by mosquitoes. And this is I've only been at the Riverwalk twice, and this was one of the times. And I just thought, this place sucks. When you get bit by whenever you get bit by mosquitoes, it sucks. Well, can we all agree with that?
Yeah.
Mosquitoes suck. There's no way. They say if you wiped out the bees, basically the earth would collapse because the chain effect it would have. So we got to take care of the bees or whatever. But mosquitoes, like, they don't do anything good for us, do they?
Mosquitoes?
If we wiped out mosquitoes, wouldn't that be good? If somehow mosquitoes became extinct, is there any, like, what do they do?
Dude, I don't know how snakes, they help the ecology. I don't.
Everything else, there's an ecological benefit. Mosquitoes are punk-ass bitches. Whoa. I hate mosquitoes. I really do. And there's no good thing that a mosquito does. What does a mosquito help something decay? No. Carries malaria. I mean, I don't know if malaria is still a thing.
PABs, that when the kids are going to school?
They're not.
Yeah, they're going to school right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, kids. It seems early for some kids.
Well.
Speaking of, I got two sick at home now. So now four total have been sick in my house. You're up next, and Dell's getting sick first, though. I've already put sick on Dell. I got it last Thursday. My wife got it yesterday, last night. And then, well, Snacks got it Monday. And then Mason, this morning before I left, like, I said, Mason, oh, man, sorry you got that. I don't think I got the same thing. I just, I get like that whenever I get, like, drainage in my throat. I said, okay. I'm sure it's just drainage in your throat that's making you violently.
Or maybe he's faking throwing. Are you hearing him go?
No, these are real. Mason always pulls it. Like, if he didn't want to go to church because he stayed up until 3 in the morning playing video games. I don't feel good. Get your clothes on now. You chose to stay up. I always know when he just goes, I just don't feel good. This was like a loud. This one woke me up.
Oh, no.
This one woke me up. It was better than an alarm clock. And I'm not sleeping in the same room with the wife, obviously, because she's a sicko. But so now Snacks has got to Uber to school because I can't take him. I got a show to do. And a wife's sick, so now I got to get Snacks Ubered to school and make sure he doesn't pull some move where he Ubers to.
Oh, you know. Wow. He gets to Uber to school? That's cool.
Yeah, he gets, he has to
Uber make to school. Make him thumb. I used to thumb to school every day.
Thumb it to school in Houston?
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you headed? Kingwood. Oh, you dropped me off over at my school?
Well, no, you go down Westheimer, you go down Richmond, and they'll take him.
Where are you headed? Just going to go to the Chick-fil-A down off of Richmond and Kirby. That's getting me closer.
Oh, hey, you take
not Richmond and Kirby, Kirby and 59.
You always take a ride with it, the closer you get. Yes, you absolutely. Oh, okay. Well, you drop me off. I'll thumb from there. That's fine. That's perfect.
No one's thumbing, John. No one's taking. And I did see one person doing that. Very old school. I saw somebody hitchhiking out somewhere in the country, because I remember thinking, oh, that's when I was headed to Richmond Rosenberg. I saw somebody with, and I'm like, what are you? And I told my kids, I said, kids, look over there real fast. It was like showing them a VHS machine. Look over there. You see what that is? That's a man with his thumb up. That's called hitchhiking. And people used to do that before everyone started getting murdered. You used to, like, be able to get rides. You did your thumb up, and that meant that you needed a ride, and then people would just give you a ride to wherever they were going, and you just travel like that.
People travel around the country like that.
They just got in people's cars they didn't even know. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that, obviously, at some point, murder started kicking in.
Yeah.
But which slowed down.
Well, there were a lot. There were a lot of
people. There was a lot less in the 70s.
Yeah.
The murders were in quiet. We didn't hear about them. I mean, a serial killer could just cruise through kind of quietly.
Yeah.
Because there was no 24-hour news cycle to tell
and
you
there
about.
There was no phones. There was no.
Yeah,
no,
like, no. You didn't know. There were still serial killers going on.
Right. Oh, a lot of them.
You just didn't know about it.
Oh, it was a thriving business at
the
time.
It was thriving in the 70s because they could get away with it.
Yes.
Like, when did DNA start?
Now you commit one murder. One murder. Like the guy. Like Giovanni.
And then there's is CCTV all
over
the place.
All over.
There's cameras on you. Yeah, I mean, I like
it. You can't get away with murder anymore.
I like it that it's harder to murder. Let the record reflect. I like it that it's harder to get away with murder. I just want to make sure I make that clear to the kids headed to school. The man on the radio, the good man, does not think that it's good to murder. We're just making a. It's just harder to get away with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, as an Italian, I feel like, I mean, it's keeping my people down.
I think most Italians would say, hey, we're not all killers, John.
Well, I know.
That's why we don't like when you say that.
Did your dad ever get shaken
down?
Hey, we had a run. We had a run.
Did your dad get shaken down ever at the bar?
No. He never got shook down. No.
Did his dad?
His dad didn't own a bar, so
his dad got shook down in his little bakery when he was making noodles or whatever.
He didn't make any noodles. Didn't do that. I don't know what my grandfather did. He came over on the boat. As a matter of fact, I got the documentation. My cousin sent it to me. The documentation came over in 1912, and
your grandpa,
my grandpa,
uh-huh.
And yeah, and so and but I don't know what he did for a living. I don't know. I know that we started doing stuff a little bit later. 741 ESPN 97.
I'm watching 1923, and they're already referencing Galveston on there. I was in episode one, maybe two.
Oh, yeah?
And he's referencing because, you know, Galveston was kind of mobbed up.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Famously. You don't have to say anything else. There's. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Galveston was actually Italian.
Yeah.
It was mobbed up a little bit.
Everywhere.
In the port, because it was the port. And they got, you know, the Italians came in to port cities, obviously, immigrants. And I guess
we got around.
The Sicilians started, wherever they landed, they're like, hey, well, I know a business we can start. Strong-arming people.
That's what we did.
Well, can't y'all do crops or something?
That's how we did it in the old country.
Can't you get into the automotive industry some woodworking? Why does it always have to be strong-arming?
Because that's how we did it in the old country. We're going to do stuff like that. That's how we do it here.
We're going to give your business a haircut. Oh, no.
Not a
haircut.
Yeah. anyway, 713-780-377. Oh, we got Keith wants to give us some financial advice. What do you say, Keith? What's the financial advice?
Hey guys, so I got some financial advice. I need you guys to help me out. So Fyre Festival 2 is next month. So just want to see if it's good financial decision. I could get the general ticket for $1,400, the VIP ticket for $5,000, or the Elevate the Experience with the Artist for $25,000.
That's Fyre Fest 2?
Yeah, Fyre Fest 2. Yeah.
Wow, what do you think?
Get the biggest one. Go. I mean, that's a good buy.
25 G's, hang out with
just
the
don't clients. Even pay attention to the Fyre Fest 1. This one's going to be a big success.
Yeah, 1,400 seems
long. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a problem for Fyre Fest 2 that there's still a dispute about where it's actually going to be?
Well, now, based
and
on Fyre Fest
month?
1,
yes.
I don't think that's trending well.
Yeah.
The Mexican tourist spot Playa del Carmen says it's not going to be here, despite what they're saying.
What are y'all talking about? It's not here.
Wait a minute.
It's not here.
Of all the names to put on something, why don't you put?
You know why?
Because here's Music Fest one.
The name recognition.
Gen Z and millennials will love the fact that it's Fyre. Like it's like, guess where I went? Fyre Fest 2. You went to Fyre Fest 2? Now I would tell you, bring your own water. Okay.
I would tell you bring your own food.
But really,
bring your
own
water.
Don't run out of water.
Yeah. Bring your own venue because they don't have one.
Just go anywhere.
Yeah,
here's Fyre Fest 2 right
Fyre
here.
Fest 2.
Go in your front yard.
What musical artist is signing up for Fyre Festival 2? Like, which person wants that on their name after Fyre Fest 1? Who are they getting?
Way you it worked out so well the first
Ja Rule.
Time.
We're doing Ja Rule again.
He wants back in?
Didn't they all go to prison?
What about Diddy?
I don't remember.
Is Diddy allowed? No, he's already been extradited.
He's in prison. I don't think he's allowed anywhere right
Diddy.
Now.
What about Mace just to fade Diddy?
Oh, he's in jail. You think
What about 50? No, wait. Wasn't it 50? Who was it that went after Ja Rule? Was it 50?
Yes.
Yeah, what about 50?
Well, 50 goes after
Ja
a lot
Rule?
Of people, but...
Yeah, but what about 50 just to say, hey, Ja Rule, you're sucked. Mine went off without a catch.
Yeah, I'm on the Fyre Festival website right now, Fyre MX, and they're selling merch. Like, if you want a Fyre 2 MX hoodie, it's $130. if you want a hat, it's $70. A bucket hat is $70. A dad hat is $60. I'm still looking for who's actually going to perform. I don't see that right now. So I don't know what they're offering other than overpriced merch.
I just want a Fyre Fest 2 shirt. That's all I want.
Well, you can get that.
You can get one.
Yeah. That's all. I don't want to go.
That would be the ironic shirt to get.
$70 for a white tee.
Yeah, white tee, $70.
Right now, Fyre 2, $70 right now.
That's it?
That's it.
Yeah. How about R. Kelly? Could he play there?
Once again, he is in prison.
Prison. Mm-hmm. You can't get special dispensation for...
Not for Fyre Fest.
For Fyre Fest 2? I would think, you know what? You send him to a deserted island? What harm could he do?
Are there other people there?
Yeah. But you...
Well...
Quite frankly...
He can do a
you're
lot.
You're going to Fyre Fest 2, you deserve it.
Well, hold on.
He can do a lot.
No one deserves what R. Kelly was giving people.
Yeah.
Hey, tomorrow...
R. Kelly, there's a bathroom out... There's a porta potty out there.
Tomorrow...
What are you doing to me?
The Astros take on the Minnesota Twins, and we'll be here in the game right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pregame show starts at 12:30. And by this Monday, FAO Houston, 2303 Smith Street. You're watching the biggest game of the year. The Cougs are going to be taking on Florida. I'm going to say Florida. Over 20 TVs. They have a rotating seasonal menu, classic cocktail specials, FAO, also a nostalgic arcade bar. ESPN Houston is going to be there. From noon to 6, Paul Gallant and the Killer Bees broadcasting live. See you at FAO 2303 Smith Street. So let's go. Watch the Cougs on Monday night. Oh, I can't wait till tomorrow night when they play Duke and beat Duke and shut them down. And Cooper Flagg has 4 points. And Knipple has 6. All right, let's go.
So combined 10 points between those two.
10 points between those two. I'm being generous.
Mm.
Time to talk.
Not like you to be generous to opponents.
You know who's generous is John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf is really generous because he's been giving away $25,000 a month. He's crazy. All you have to do is go to the website to sign up. But if you sell your car to him, if he buys your car from you, you get like way more points. And you put those points go in the hopper and or whatever, however they're doing it, and you got a chance to pull $25,000. It's just ridiculous. The dude is just wants to make sure that you know he's the biggest and the best. And he's giving away throwing money at you. How about that? So look, go to GiveMeTheVin.com and see for yourself. You don't even have to sell a car to get in on this thing. All you need to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com. But if you are selling a car, there's one place that you have to go. Because you don't know. You could go walk into a dealership. Dealership tells you, oh, it's going to be this much. CarMax, oh, it's going to be this much. John Clay Wolf's going to tell you, oh, it's this much. And then you go back to those places and go, look what I'm going to get from John Clay Wolf. And they'll go, have fun. Go sell it to John Clay Wolf. You know why? Because John Clay Wolf will beat him. If he doesn't beat CarMax, he's going to give you $100. John Clay Wolf is one of the biggest car buyers in the world. John Clay Wolf. GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Ja Morant did the finger gesture again. He had the game winner, bounce, 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 and went in. Was watching that game, and he won it at the end. Tie game, Ja Morant.
Not again.
Yeah, he did it again.
What? It again. Why would he already said there.
They told him not to do it again, and he did it.
So
is this it?
Yeah.
By the way, John set up how the game ended, but he did that to make it 14-9. The finger guns came out in the first quarter. It was 14-6. He hits a three to make it 14-9.
14-9 and shotgun these guys in the face?
Well, I think maybe a timeout was called. I forgot how it went down, but either way, he makes a three to make it 14-9, and
he doesn't want to play. You know what he wants out of this season?
And of course he goes, I'm kinda used to it. I was pretty much a villain for 2 years now. Every little thing, if someone can say something negative about me, it's gonna be out there. So yeah, I don't care no more.
14-9.
And he pulled out the finger guns.
See, yeah. I hadn't seen it. I thought it was at the end of the game.
No,
if you had the game winner, you should be able to take the shotgun out.
No, he did the cell phone celebration. I called game. So he called game.
I called game.
He ran down to his dad because his dad T was on the baseline, the opposite end. For whatever reason, he wanted to sit by the Miami bench. So he scores on his end, goes down to celebrate with his dad. And the funniest thing for me watching the game was there's one of the guys who handles the sweatsuits that the guys take off to get him a towel.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there all game, and he's looking at T. Morant celebrate with Ja, and he's got this look on the face like, man, don't you get out of my arena. He's like, I'm sick of you. It's a Heat employee, so you can understand. I'm sure he's heard T. Morant talk all game long. He just had this look like, man, get out of here. And also, what the internet took a look at was there was a famous sex worker sitting baseline as well. I think I don't know if she's retired or not, but everyone was like, that's T. Morant, but yeah, that's Abella Danger sitting there too.
What's her name?
Abella Danger. She's
Abella Danger?
Abella Danger, yes.
Okay. Abella Danger?
The internet was
pretty good.
There's
pretty
no
good
way.
Name.
Is her last name really Danger?
I don't believe
so.
I don't think it is.
Yes.
Why?
But
why
it would
don't
be better
think
if it
so?
Is. If this was a given name on a birth certificate, Abella Danger?
She is a product of South Florida and,
the streets.
Well, possibly. If there are two giant, or maybe they're one now, two giant online, porn sites, and she gained her fame that way down there. I don't know if she does it anymore, but she was sitting
basically. Did it involve a bus?
And among other things.
Okay.
She was down there, and her and T. Morant got to watch Ja come down and celebrate. As he won the game.
Well, she is tied to Ja, because the first thing you put up, Abella Danger, and it goes Ja Morant.
Yeah. She was there. She saw. She was looking at him while he was having a good time with his dad after he won the game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the crazy thing because
Jabari would never.
He at times can be unstoppable, and that should be the story. Like, he won a game, a very competitive game, back and forth, him and Hero going back and forth in that game, particularly in the fourth quarter. And yet, the story is, oh, The guy could not avoid doing this again.
They already said they're investigating, which is kind of funny because what do you investigate?
Yeah. Well, they investigated whether it was an act of violence, and they decided it wasn't that big of a deal, but they, you know, like, hey, don't do it again. And then he did it the next night.
An act of violence?
Yeah, like because it's a violent gesture. That's what I'm saying. They investigated it, say, hey, what was that about? I'm sure
they asked them. You saw what it was.
I'm sure they asked
them. That's not a real act of violence.
No.
It's just like, we don't want you doing
that. Well, I'm sure they asked them, were you actually threatening the Warriors, saying you're going to shoot them? What were you saying when you did it? And I'm sure.
Well, whether or not Buddy Hield did it first has probably played into it.
I think Buddy Hield reacted to him doing it. That's why he did it.
There's the.
Either way, John.
Well, Memphis fans say it's not. So.
Of course.
Whatever.
It's always the second guy.
But Ja did it again. That tells me I want out of this season.
Yeah.
Can you pay? Can you suspend me for next year so I can get paid? Although if he gets suspended, it's not going to be a pay.
He might have, while the playoffs are going on, he might have some plans, you know?
It's true.
I don't know if there's a white party. Down in Cabo or somewhere.
When's the white party? When's Michael Rubin's white party or whatever?
I don't know.
Does Ricky Rose have something going on?
No one knows right now.
James knows.
No. Well, Ja might know, and that's why he's looking. That's why he's shooting everybody.
Every game now he's doing.
Yeah, bah, 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 bah.
He's going to do that move like the South Carolina.
But
he's going to be as violent as possible so he can get out of this playoff series.
Because
it's not trending well. They're the only team in the West right now that's kind of falling apart from a record standpoint. They're 3-7, I think, in their last 10. Memphis. Ja's probably like, let me just do some finger guns so I can get out of here.
Yeah. When we come back, let's catch up on breaks here. But Brian Windhorst is being a little disrespectful, isn't he?
He is. He had some numbers to back
LeBron's
it up.
He's best friend. He's corny.
He wasn't talking about LeBron. He's talking about the Warriors. But the numbers would tell you they've been pretty damn good. But he was a little disrespectful to our local team.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Put some respect on number 2 seed, okay? Put some respect on it. Right now, put some respect on Houston Powder Coaters because Robin, they're big, they're huge. They're awesome. Biggest by volume and the best. And I don't know what you need powder coated. If you have car parts, if you have an old refrigerator, a Frigidaire, I mean, those are pretty cool. Maybe some neon lights and the metal on it is an old neon light of a Pabst Blue Ribbon or whatever, Schlitz, whatever it is that you got, and it's all rusted out or whatever, Houston Powder Coaters can make it look new again. That's awesome, awesome, awesome. You're looking for the best way to get whatever it is that doesn't look great, whatever metal that doesn't look great, looking great again, looking new again, because that metal is much better than any metal you can get now. And you're seeing Houston Powder Coaters. Well, I mean, you want to talk about trust. They trust the Marriott Marquis, the Downtown Aquarium, the Westside Tennis Club, at NRG Stadium, Discovery Green, the Boardwalk, Kermit Park. If they're trusting them, you can trust them too. Whatever it is that you want. Residential, they will pick up and deliver absolutely free. You're looking for the best way to save whatever it is, but you got to do it now. If you want it by summer, but if you want it by spring, when it's going to get nice outside, you want to sit outside, HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.